From the very northernmost edge of the occupied territories down to the coastal hubs that were once seen as impenetrable safe havens, we are witnessing the largest population displacement in the history of the occupation.
More secular Israelis are considering leaving the country, with one recent poll suggesting one in three Israelis were thinking of emigrating, while a survey of doctors indicated a high number were seeking to move overseas.
Why are so many Israelis choosing to leave their own country? Well, the answer lies in a mix of war fatigue, political turmoil, and the fading confidence in what comes next.
Now, a U.S. ship is standing by to evacuate Americans from the northern port of Haifa in Israel to Cyprus.
According to field reports disseminated by resistance media and local authorities in southern Lebanon, more than 1 million settlers have now completely abandoned the northern regions of occupied Palestine. This is not a temporary departure. Analysts within the resistance operations rooms are categorizing this as a permanent strategic evacuation, one that may never be reversed. The statistics leaking out through Hebrew language distress signals paint a picture of a collapsing front. An additional 400,000 have fled the critical port city of Haifa, while panic-stricken caravans from central occupied territories have choked the roads leading into the southernmost outpost of Eilat. The trigger is not merely the threat of rudimentary rocket fire, but the terrifying and proven reality that Lebanese resistance fighters have successfully outflanked the occupation's ground defenses and infiltrated the border cities. We are observing a seismic shift where FPV loitering munitions, drones so agile and precise that they hunt down armored columns and repair crews with surgical efficiency, have rendered the occupation's military bases proximal to the Lebanese line completely non-viable, forcing a hasty and humiliating tactical withdrawal of garrisons that had been stationed there for decades. And in the midst of this operational disaster for the occupation leadership, Benjamin Netanyahu stood before the cameras to brag about blowing up a massive tunnel in southern Lebanon, only for subsequent resistance reports to confirm it was an abandoned, empty complex, further solidifying the narrative that the occupation is spectacularly fighting ghosts while losing a very real war. The foundational reason the occupation forces have lost all freedom of maneuver is the resurrection of an ancient and decisive form of asymmetric warfare, the subterranean defense network. For months, the occupation's military propaganda machine has tried to sell the myth that its engineering cores had irreparably shattered the Lebanese resistance's underground infrastructure. The grim reality being screamed by terrified field commanders to their political masters is precisely the opposite. The tunnel systems carved into the rocky hills of southern Lebanon have not only survived the occupation's most massive bunker-busting blasts, detonations that the occupation often proudly films as a display of brute ignorance, but are actively being utilized to deploy ambush units. The methodology mirrors and arguably surpasses the legendary Viet Cong tunnel complexes of Cu Chi, where the Vietnamese resistance dug compact, claustrophobic passages to survive American carpet bombing. The Lebanese resistance has engineered a deep, sophisticated, multi-layered labyrinth featuring rock-carved bunkers, air filtration systems, weapons caches, and operational command centers invisible to satellite surveillance. These are not mere hiding holes, they are strategic launch platforms. Fighters emerge from concealed hatches mere meters away from occupation patrols, strike with high-precision fiber-optic drones that cannot be jammed by electronic warfare, and vanish back into the earth before a response can be mounted. The occupation's bragging about destroying a 2-kilometer tunnel in Qantara with 450 tons of explosives collapses under scrutiny when Lebanese sources confirm the site had long been evacuated and served no active operational capacity, making it less a military victory and more an expensive demolition of real estate. This is the painful truth that Tel Aviv refuses to accept. The occupation is not just failing to neutralize the resistance tunnels, it is being strategically bled dry by a network that ensures the siege of northern occupied Palestine will never be lifted. If you are tired of the Western media's sanitized talking points and you want to see the truth about this liberation struggle, then smash that like button, share this report, and drop a comment below. Even if it's just a dot, you are helping us beat the algorithm. Subscribe now to support truly independent journalism that refuses to polish the image of war criminals. The strategic genius of these tunnels lies in their psychological and logistical load-bearing capacity. Just as the Viet Cong used an intricate web stretching hundreds of kilometers to move supplies and sustain a fighting force on the outskirts of Saigon, the Lebanese resistance has established a three-dimensional battlefield. When the occupation's armored Merkava tanks rumble across the devastated streets of Bint Jibil, or Alcantara, to demolish civilian homes, they are rolling directly into a kill zone that is watched from above and below. The resistance's tactical patience is breathtaking. They allow the occupation's bulldozers and Namer armored personnel carriers to overextend deep into the terrain before springing a coordinated trap. This is why the military statements issued by the Islamic Resistance on Tuesday, April 28th. It are not just a list of destroyed assets. They are a systematic dissection of an overconfident enemy. At precisely 1300, just as a military bulldozer was engaged in the collective punishment of Bint Jabil's civilian infrastructure by tearing down homes, a loitering attack drone descended from the sky, scoring a direct and confirmed hit that turned the engineering vehicle into a burning coffin. It was a chilling message that not even the soft rear echelon demolition crews are safe. The resistance did not stop there. Within the same operational hour, a swarm of attack drones enveloped a gathering of enemy soldiers stationed in the town square of Alcantara. The resulting detonations pulverized the occupation's grid position, exploiting a precisely mapped understanding of the terrain to inflict maximum casualties on a force that believed it was adequately concealed. Moments later, at 1400, the resistance shifted from soft targets to heavy armor, locking a drone onto a Merkava tank in the same town and achieving a confirmed kill. These are not isolated skirmishes. They are evidence that the Lebanese resistance is operating a dense fiber optic network of real-time surveillance that outpaces the occupation's scrambled communication lines. The evening operations further underline this ominous mastery of the skies. At 1810, a surface-to-air missile screeched through the airspace of Alcantara, hunting down and successfully destroying a top-tier Hermes 900 surveillance drone, the so-called star of the occupation's aerial espionage fleet. Stripping the enemy blind, the resistance then dispatched another swarm of drones at 1830 onto a gathering of panicked soldiers in the town of Tabe, catching them in the open as night began to close in. The final strike came in the late hours when yet another drone swarm surged onto the newly established Namir al-Jamal site, proving that there is no newly constructed base, no forward position dug in a hurry that remains untouched. Let us be absolutely clear about the level of carnage and destruction being inflicted across the border in a desperate attempt to mask these humiliations. The criminal occupation regime, backed unconditionally by Washington's bureaucratic machine, has unleashed a scorched-earth policy south of the so-called Yellow Line, a fabricated demarcation zone that eats roughly 20 kilometers into sovereign Lebanese territory. Entire Shiite villages, along with Christian communities, are being methodically razed to the ground. Occupation munitions have turned neighborhoods in Beirut's southern suburb into gray wastelands, killing over 2,200 people since March 2nd, including over 100 medics and rescue workers who were targeted while pulling bodies from the rubble. Over 1.2 million Lebanese civilians have been forced northward into a state of dispossession, while the occupation cynically declares this ethnic cleansing defensive operation. However, the very tactics that were designed to break the morale of the resistance, the flattening of schools, the bombing of mosques, and the sniping at healthcare personnel, have only produced a harder, more resilient, and more adaptive fighting force. What the hapless occupation generals and the belligerent American empire builder Donald Trump consistently fail to grasp is that military hardware cannot erase an ideology of resistance. The tunnels represent something far deeper than concrete and rebar. They are the physical manifestation of a population's refusal to kneel. In Vietnam, the American military spent years flooding and gassing tunnels, only to emerge from the jungle utterly defeated, their technological monopoly shattered by human endurance. Today, 450 tons of explosives detonated in a single spectacular blast might light up the Twitter feeds and fundraise for Netanyahu's failing political coalition, but they do not silence the launch platforms hidden just a few hundred feet away. For every inactive or abandoned shaft that the occupation manages to discover and subsequently destroy with a choreographed display of high explosives, there are dozens more fully stocked with Iranian-supplied weaponry, commando knives, night vision goggles, and blood transfusion kits, ready to accommodate elite Radwan regiments. The underground bunkers are situated brazenly close to the separation fence, so close that some lie under the historical oversight of UNIFIL posts, which, as recent reports indicate, either could not or chose not to interfere with the construction of a defense network comparable to a state military base. The evacuation of the military bases surrounding the Lebanese border is therefore the final logical admission of defeat. The occupation army's home front command has effectively lost control of the narrative in the Galilee. When an FPV drone can loiter silently over a tank crew fixing their track, waiting for the medic helicopter to approach as a secondary target before striking twice, the entire doctrine of mechanized warfare collapses. Hundreds of thousands of settlers who fled Haifa and the northern coastline have seen the Dark Horizon burning. They realize that the anti-missile Iron Dome, a system the Empire loves to boast about, is structurally incapable of stopping a low-flying, fiber-optically guided drone that rides under the radar detection threshold. The cities of Kiryat Shmona and Nahariya, once bustling settler hubs, are now ghost towns, scrawled with the dire warnings printed on resistance leaflets demanding an immediate exodus southward. But even fleeing south offers no sanctuary. Sirens ring out in Eilat, the once safe southern resort town, scrambling to house the internal refugee crisis that no bomb shelter can solve. Faced with an out-of-control tactical deterioration, and a sky that has essentially become a hunting ground for resistance pilots, the occupation's political leadership has doubled down on its most psychotic delusions. Netanyahu's performance at the podium, boasting about smashing through abandoned concrete, is a grotesque attempt to disguise the reality that he is the leader who has finally made the settlers of northern occupied Palestine permanently homeless. The Trump administration, meanwhile, continues to pour munitions into this genocidal furnace without a shred of strategic competence, humiliating themselves on the global stage while the German chancellor openly mocks the United States for having no exit strategy. The so-called ceasefire brokered to save face has been exposed as nothing more than a pause the occupation uses to flatten civilian homes with bulldozers, which are themselves immediately targeted and destroyed by the resistance. There is no victory to be found in the rubble, and certainly none in a tunnel complex that was deserted long before the explosives were rigged. The Lebanese resistance is fighting from the shadows, controlling the operational tempo, and forcing a strategic relocation of the occupation's population that looks less like a precautionary measure and more like a definitive, irreversible uprooting. The battle for the north is over, and the occupation lost. The question now is how much deeper these tunnels go, and whether the settlers currently cowering in Eilat will have anywhere left to flee when the resistance decides the time is right to turn the entire occupied Palestine into a front line.